Welcome to Author Express. Thanks for checking us out. This is the podcast where you give us 15 minutes of your time and we give you a chance to hear the voice behind the pages and get to know some of your favorite writers in a new light. I'm one of your hosts, Kathleen Basie. I'm an award-winning musical composer, feature writer, essayist, and of course, storyteller. Let me tell you a little about today's guest. Janie Emus believes that when the world is falling apart, as it seems to be recently, we're just one laugh away from putting it together again. Everything she writes, from her children's books to adult fiction to her lifestyle pieces, always has a touch of humor. She lives in the Los Angeles area with her 99-year-old mom and her wheelchair-bound husband. She walks about 5,000 steps each day, and that's before she even leaves the house. And she always finds something to laugh about every day. If she can make her readers smile, she's doing her job as a writer. Welcome, Janie, to Author Express.
Welcome. It's so nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I love the idea of the smile and the steps before you even leave your house. I'm sort of obsessed with my step count. So, So tell me, what's the most interesting thing about where you're from?
I'm from Los Angeles. So it's like every other DoorDash driver is a stuntman. The servers are all waitresses, or not, shouldn't say waitresses. The servers are all actors. Everybody's writing it. The bus drivers are writing screenplays, but it's also a beautiful town. There's the beach, which is gorgeous, the mountains, and the weather is just pretty much perfect here.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. I think it would be exciting to be adjacent to film because it just seems so exotic to those of us in other parts of the country.
Oh, yeah. I know. Whenever my stepdaughter comes with her family, the first thing they want to do is find a celebrity. I mean, I don't really even know where you're going to find one, but, you know.
So have you ever run into a celebrity?
Actually, many, many years ago, I don't remember the show. I think it was called One Day at a Time with Bonnie Franklin. She was sitting next to me at a counter. I was working as a bookkeeper. And she was like two seats over at a little counter having lunch. And I kept thinking she was just a friend. I go, how do I know this woman? She's so familiar. And then eventually, I think I even interrupted her and said, are we friends? It was a little embarrassing, but I have. Oh, and then the other thing that I'll always regret is I was up at the beach having lunch, looking over the Pacific Ocean, and Diana Ross was at the next table.
Oh, wow.
And my daughter was ready to have birth. She actually had birth that night. It was July 17th. And I wanted to talk to her. I wanted to go over to her and just say, thank you so much for your wonderful music. Not even like carry on a conversation, just walk past and say, hi, you know, thank you so much for your good music. And my daughter was like, do not get up and talk to her.
Right. And you do not argue with a woman who's on the verge of labor.
And she really was. I mean, she had the baby at night. So I didn't talk to her. And I've always regretted, why did I listen to her? All I had to do was walk past her and say, thank you so much for your beautiful music. And she might have been happy to hear that.
Yeah, you never know.
But I watched her eat lunch.
So let's get to know you a little bit better. So you grew up in Los Angeles?
I did, yes.
How has your upbringing shaped the person that you are now?
Well, I came from a very, very happy family. It was a good home. I loved growing up at the time when I did, you know, the 50s, there was no cell phones. I think about it, I got in the car, we drove off. Our parents didn't know where we were, we had curfews. And I think I'm really close with my sister. We're like, just couldn't be closer. We talk like 100 times a day. And I had a really happy, wonderful childhood. There were some, you know, not everything was wonderful. So I think that shaped my view of the world. And my mother was always so positive. I mean, she just instilled the positive attitude. She always said, if you feel like you look pretty, then you are going to look pretty when you're out there in the world, because it's only how you view yourself or how you think people are viewing you. You really don't know what they're thinking about you. So you can think, well, they think I'm pretty, and then you feel pretty. Mm-hmm. So she gave me a lot of really positive, good things to carry on with my, she doesn't remember any of that anymore. She'll be 100 next week.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So, and she lives with you.
Yeah, she lives here with me.
Yeah, my hat is off to you to be a caregiver of two and still be able to write. That is a rock star worthy thing.
Well, thank you. But I do have a lot of caregivers. I didn't have as many as I do now. I realized I needed more. I needed help. So I pretty much have almost the whole 24/7. There's like 5 hours out of every day when I don't have help, which then forces me to be home, which then forces me to write. Because if they're sleeping or they don't need me, then I have time to get writing done.
Yeah, very good. Well, so let's talk a little bit about writing. Let's talk about your book. Can you tell us about it in one sentence?
I can. The Advice Columnist, that's my women's fiction. After losing her job as a longtime advice columnist, a 50-something woman begins receiving messages from her younger self via social media, on TikTok and text messages and emails and Snapchat. And she has to decide whether or not to take her own advice and listen to that person that she used to be.
That is such a creative idea for a story. One of the questions that we ask quite often is, would this book have been the same if you'd written it 10 years ago or 10 years from now? And what would you tell your 20-year-old self if you could go back in time? And all of what you just described just like dovetails so seamlessly into those questions. So what is it like to write a character hearing from her younger self?
You know, at the time I started the book, like when I conceived of the idea, it was about 10 years ago or so. People were writing, and maybe they still are, but it was a big thing to write a letter to your younger self. Mm. And I started thinking, well, that's kind of, let's flip it around. Let's have the younger self advise the older woman who she is now. Because there's a lot of stuff that you lose as you get older. That spirited young girl that you used to be, for my main character, she lost a lot of that. And she used to always not put herself first all the time, but she thought more about what she wanted. And now she's this 50-something woman who's saying yes to everything. Everybody's getting a piece of her. So basically, if I went back and talked to my younger self, I would tell her to have more confidence because I didn't think I did. But this girl in my story has all of everything that the older woman really needs to find herself again.
Hmm.
But she doesn't want to listen to everything the younger girl said because the younger girl did get her in some trouble. You know, she didn't give her all the best advice.
Yeah. Is there a scene or a moment in the book that feels particularly personal to you?
Yeah, there was a scene closer on in the book. There's a lot of secrets in the book. It's like what happens is she's trying to get out of town, and plus the fact that she keeps hearing from this younger self and her husband thinks she's totally nuts, but her best friends sort of are going along with her and everybody wants a piece of her until she can finally get out of town. And there's a scene where the husband has been keeping a major secret from her, which is pivotal in the story. And the one scene I wrote where the husband and wife are sort of working their way back to each other and realizing they both got lost along the way. And it's a marriage, you know, they've been married like 35 years. I've been married almost 46, or maybe I was just 46. Yeah, last month it was 46. So yeah, sometimes you kind of forget that other person's changing too. And you both, the husband and wife, realizing that they still loved each other was a pivotal scene for me.
I think that's a lovely thing. I've been thinking a lot about that lately. I'm married 25 years and we tend to focus a lot. The most fun in writing and in reading stories and in going to the movies is to see new relationships. But there's something really beautiful and needed about how do you refresh and tap in and really preserve that, a long marriage that is beautiful and becomes something even more special in the long term. And anyway, I just love the fact that that's a part of your story.
Thank you. It's a major part of the story, their marriage, but all the different components. There's also a segment, which is part of my favorite parts, is where she's attracted to the man down the street who's about 20 years younger than her, and she's misreading him completely.
Oh, dear. Oh, my.
One of my favorite scenes, too, is a funny scene where she thinks he's actually going to kiss her, but he has no intention of really kissing her. So it's sort of an embarrassment for the main character.
Oh, man. Oof. Yes, I can feel that even right now, just thinking about it. So let's talk a little bit more about your writing. Have you ever had to deal with self-doubt or fear of failure during your writing journey?
Okay, this doesn't have to do with, it has to do with my picture books. After the success of my first one, which was the Latkes for Santa Claus book, I then sold the second one, and that took a lot of work trying to get it out. And I started thinking that maybe I wasn't going to be able to do it, but I did. But the first one was already sold, it was done when I sold it. So it's different than when you're writing a second one after you pitch an idea. And I just sold a third one, which I'm working on right now.
That's amazing. To be able to write something with lots and lots of words, like women's fiction, and something with very few words, like a picture book, those are very different skill sets. So how do you juggle that?
I was told early on, way, way back, I started writing poetry. You know, I was going to be the poet laureate. And I was like, I was fabulous. Sold my first thing at 30. And I thought, oh, this is it. I'll be as successful. Took me 40 more years to sell a book. But I was told I should probably just stick with one genre, but I can't. And I think what it is that my mind just goes, like if I'm sitting down writing women's fiction and I'm in a scene and it just isn't flowing right, I'll just open up another document of something totally different, like a light little poem or something that I'm writing for a picture book. I don't know. I don't recommend it to everybody. I think it might have hurt along the way with branding, mm-hmm. except that now I sort of brand that everything has humor in it, mm-hmm. you know, that's probably the thing that is consistent through all my writing, but it's the only way I can do it. It's the only way my mind works.
Yeah. Well, you find sometimes that there is something like for you, the humor that pulls it all together at the end, even though it seems like they're very different. So, you know, whatever works, there are all these rules in the writing industry, except when the rules don't count. So, you know, if it works, it works, right?
And the rules don't count so much sometimes. It seems like the next big breakout is something that went against all the rules.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm reading books all the time now where I'm thinking, and you told me that you can't talk about that. And you told me that you can't talk about that. And clearly it's just a matter of when the alchemy is right, it just works.
Yeah.
So as we start to wrap up today, tell us, where's the best place for people to find you online?
Probably on my website, just the, you know, janieemis.com, because everything is there. My website, though, at the moment, it needs major revamping. But my books are there. I write a lot of articles for ARP, and there's some links to the ARP articles. Otherwise, just Google me. I'm everywhere.
And would you spell your name for everybody so they can get the right website?
Oh, yeah. It's JANIEEMAUS. So you have to do two E's together, and that is sometimes kind of weird.
All right. And so in closing, tell us, what book or story is inspiring you the most these days?
Oh, these days. Well, I don't have anything these days, right, off the top of my head. I could tell you, though, that I've been inspired in the past. Kurt Vonnegut and John Irving were like two of my big authors I read when I was younger, that they sort of gave me the quirky, weird world that I'd love to be inside. And I know that from Jodi Picoult, I got a lot of structure advice. By reading her books, I saw how she structured things with the different points of views and sometimes even different fonts. Then there was always like Ann Tyler and Barbara O'Neill and just people that write strong women's fiction and just good stories and good characters. I don't know, a current book that I just finished reading, which I absolutely loved, was by Lori Frankel. It was This Is How It Always Is. It's not really that current, but I just finished reading it.
I'm reading Family right now, so I know Lori Frankel.
That was the first book I read by her, and I was like just blown away by it. I thought it was so good.
Yeah.
So, and then I read a lot of picture books.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. I don't read so many picture books anymore now. I used to read a lot of them when my kids were smaller. Well, that's very good. You gave us a whole slew of things to give us meat in literary terms, I should say. So thanks for that.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. And everybody, check out Janie Emis at her website.
Thanks for joining us today. Reviews help other people to find us, so please take a minute to give us a rating and leave a few words. We'll be here again next Wednesday. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram at Author Express Podcast to see who's coming up next. Don't forget, keep it express, but keep it interesting.